Hello and welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast. She Reads Truth creates beautiful, accessible Bible reading plans and resources to help you get into God's Word every day. Each week here on the podcast, we talk about what we're going to read together as a community this week. I'm your host, Rachel Myers.
And I'm your other host, Amanda Bible Williams. And this is week two of our short two-week series on the book of Amos. And today we're joined by our friend Inez Franklin. Inez is founder of a Christian discipleship ministry called Trochia Ministries. She also serves at Mariners Church in Southern California with her husband, James. And she has her first book just came out in March. It's called Uncharted, Navigating Your Unique Journey of Faith. Inez was a delight to have this conversation with because she's just like us. She's just a student of the Bible who loves to dig into God's Word and learn new things about the Bible, about God, and about how to live as a follower of Jesus. I was so encouraged by this episode. Same. I know you are too, same. Rachel. And we just can't wait to share this with you guys. So let's get right to it.
Inez, I'm curious about your relationship with the book of Amos. When we emailed you and said, like, would you be a guest for the book of Amos? Were you like, absolutely, I know Amos inside and out? Or like, what was your thought when we invited you?
Okay, I will start with a confession.
I did not mean to tee you up for
We're
a confession.
We're going to start like this. You know, there are some of the minor prophets that after reading, you know, the major prophets and those really long, you kind of go, oh, I need a break from reading this sort of difficult material that speaks of God's judgment toward people who are being disobedient. So I think the first several times I read the Bible, I skipped over Amos. I'm going to admit that.
Yeah.
And it definitely, although I have now, of course, read it many times, it's not a book I've studied. So I was so intrigued when you guys said, hey, we're going to study Amos, which is one of the things I love about what you do, because you don't shy away from those books that are hard, right? You just did Chronicles, for goodness sakes.
Right.
Those
yeah,
are hard.
That's true.
You know, you don't shy away from it. And so, yeah, I love the opportunity to dive into a book that I tend to gloss over.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I like that. Well, honestly, I mean, I'll agree. I think that like, while Amos is a book I have read, it is not a book that I have studied until now.
Yeah.
And as a community, we did read Amos as a part of a minor prophets grouping several years ago, but this experience is new to me too.
This feels different to focus on it on its own. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Then we're all in this together.
We're all in this together.
We really are. And that is part of what we love about what we get to do is that, you know, there are lots of parts of the Bible that we individually haven't done deep dives of. You know, I mean, we're getting to them, but also, you know, one deep dive does not an expert make.
That's true.
You know, like there's always something to learn. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, even if the Bible were just a textbook, which it is not, it is not a textbook. Mm-hmm. But even if it were, you know, one read through there would still be stuff to learn, but it's the living and active Word of God. And we have the Holy Spirit in us who, you know, illuminates what he's already inspired and written. And so anyway, there's a lot to learn.
I also really like that the three of us are not sitting down with Amos as Bible teachers, but as just like, we'll go first. She's like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is what everyone, like y'all listening, if you haven't listened to a She Reads Truth podcast episode before, I like that you're jumping in on Amos.
Welcome.
Yes. Okay. But even if you have, like, what you're going to get from this episode is not Bible teaching from the book of Amos or any sort of like a checked box of like, well, now I've done my Bible reading. What you're going to get is the three of us going, hey, I just read Amos and like, this is what I noticed. This is what I learned. This is the questions that I had. And like, we're just other she's going first.
Yeah.
Yes, very true. And I don't know about you, but as I studied it, it really challenged me. I mean, I've been processing a lot. I'm thinking, wow, pausing to actually study, you know, it's a short book. It's not hard to read, but it is packed with a lot. And so I'm excited too for those, for the ladies who are going in and studying it as well. I can tell you this, I feel like it really spoke to me personally and it challenged me. And even though we're reading about the story of the people of Israel, it's very, very apropos for us.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
So good. Well, last week we read the first four chapters and a little bit of Amos, four and a half, we'll say.
Yeah.
And so just learning a little bit about who Amos is, what he's doing with his prophecy, like he's a shepherd turned prophet, mm-hmm. that he was the first couple chapters, he's declaring judgment on the nations, mm-hmm. and then he really starts focusing in on Israel, on God's people. And you're right, Inez, like, it's dark.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, when the end reaches, when God says, okay, that's enough, there's a harshness that I hear. But mm-hmm. I also hear myself do that when I have my kids. And mm-hmm. they were like, sure. Don't do that. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. And then it's like, don't touch that.
Mm-hmm.
And right. It's like there's a new tone when it's like, this is my last.
Yeah.
I've told you this many times, and now this is my last. And children, they're tuned to that, right? They know, like, oh, mm-hmm. that's it. This is the moment. If I haven't acted thus far, I better.
Yeah,
I feel like I heard that tone of God in this letter. Kind of like, this is your last chance to move. And therefore, there's a deeper language that says, if I don't pay attention to this, I'm going to have huge consequences. So I sense the weight of that. Not that God is harsh. I don't mean to say that. But that there was certainly a gravity or gravitas to the words.
Yeah. Well, and like we're going to read, like he's just and he is always mm-hmm. just. Like the thing that we like to really say over and over again, like the character of God doesn't change.
That's right.
He's not some parts sometimes and some parts other times. He is always all the things all the time. Mm-hmm. And so he is just. And so even in this, like he's driving home this like justice mm-hmm. of like, boy, I am merciful and I am just.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting, like as we're like, you know, opening our study books or our Bibles to the second half of Amos chapter 5, this heading is called The Day of the Lord. And we're reading this like that, woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. What will the day of the Lord be for you? Like, what do you think it's going to be? Because you're longing for it thinking like, that'll be the day that I'm, you know, vindicated or whatever it is, or rescued. But, you know, and God is going, are you sure? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, he's just kind of saying, like, what do you think that the day of the Lord is going to look like? Like, maybe give me a chance to be clear on what it'll be. And I read it, and I think that let's read some of it mm-hmm. right now, maybe starting in verse 21. But I want to read it in the CSB as we have it in our study books. But also, like, I spent some time looking at, like, okay, what does this sound like in another translation? Like, how is that different? Mm-hmm. And I actually might read some of it because, Amanda, it was very interesting.
It always is.
It always is. But can we, Inez, will you read for us Amos chapter 5, maybe 21 through 24?
Absolutely. I despise your feasts. I can't stand the stench of your solemn assemblies. Even if you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will have no regard for your fellowship offerings of fattened cattle. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice flow like water and righteousness like an unfailing stream.
It's strong language.
Oh, see what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
And we'll get to this later, but like the Micah 6 reading is so echoey and like similar to that that we'll mm-hmm. read later in day 8.
Yeah. And did you know that their ministries overlapped a little?
Okay, yeah.
Was looking at like, there are so many prophets, which thank you, Lord, for the prophets. And so I was looking at kind of the timeline, and Amos and Hosea overlap. And then Isaiah and Micah almost do, and I'm sure maybe it depends on whose timeline you're looking at, whose research you're looking mm-hmm. at. But the point is that they're all speaking into, or my point, mm-hmm. maybe not the point, is that they're all speaking into kind of a similar time in the history of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So that getting that then the Micah 6.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And, you know, that verse 24, that's our key verse.
Yeah.
And it's a verse that I think a lot of us have heard, mm-hmm. even if we haven't spent much time in Amos. And the imagery is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think we would all say, like, yes.
Yeah.
Right? But let justice flow like water and mm-hmm. righteousness like an unfailing stream. I did not realize, or either I had forgotten, the context leading up to that.
Yeah.
Of how, I mean, these are...
Because you think it's just like this like beautiful verse among many, like...
Like in a psalm.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, the stench of your solemn assemblies, like that is rough.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, you think your toes are stepped on now. I'm going to read you a different translation.
Some good shoes today.
Yeah. Okay. So I actually looked in the message. I don't usually look there, but I was like, I'm just curious. Like, if we're talking plain speak language, sometimes the message does that. And so this is, if you get on your steel-toed boots.
I think that's going to be rougher. I'm preparing myself for rougher language.
Yeah, you should.
Oh my goodness. I'm
starting
scared.
Verse 21. I mean, it is what God says here in the CSB, but okay. In the message, I can't stand your religious meetings. I'm fed up with your conferences and conventions. I want nothing to do with your religion projects, your pretentious slogans and goals. I'm sick of your fundraising schemes, your public relations and image making. I've had all I can take of your noisy ego music. When was the last time you sang to me? Do you know what I want? I want justice, oceans of it. I want fairness, rivers of it. That's what I want. That's all I want.
Wow.
Yeah.
A moment of silence.
Yeah.
To just take that in.
Yeah, that's a lot. And so I think we remember, okay, who is the Lord talking to through Amos?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first, he's talking to into the space and time in which Amos was prophesying, speaking to God's people then. And so where this falls on the timeline of God's people is it's before, not long before, but it's before the destruction of Jerusalem, and it's about 175 years before the exile. So like things are bad, and they're getting worse. And, you know, we've read lots of the Old Testament. The Old Testament.
Yeah.
We know that, like, it gets really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But he's talking to his people, and God's people are to be set apart. The reason that having this strong response is because they are supposed to be representing him to the nations around them, right? Like, not becoming like the godless nations, but to be set apart, and that's not what they're doing.
Yeah.
Not at all. Mm-mm. You know, again, although there's a lot of strength in those words and they're very convicting, what I do love is that in the CSV, that little teeny word, but, right?
But.
Verse 24 starts with but. You know, there's so many passages like
that's
in the
good.
New Testament where Paul starts with therefore. Go back and read what it says before because there's something really important before it. And here again, but. And it's this powerful kind of like, here's a way out of the way that you're living. You don't have to, we don't have to go this route.
Yes.
I'm telling you exactly what I want. Just like I think the message does such a beautiful job of describing, here's what I really want.
Yeah.
And you want to please me. This is what pleases the Lord, which of course is when we get to be all that he calls us to be. And in this case, for the people of Israel, a blessing to all the nations.
That's right.
Like turn. There's this constant beautiful call to turn and repent and return to the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, quick Bible translation aside, it's important to know the difference between a Bible translation and a Bible paraphrase. So like the CSB is, and then even among Bible translations, we could get into that. We won't get into that today. But like there are, it is like that word for word or thought for thought translation. CSB is kind of like does a very faithful job of kind of both, that word for word
of a hybrid
and thought for thought of the translation from the original Hebrew in the case of the book of Amos. The message is a paraphrase. It is like so far thought for thought and not word for word. And so Inez, I appreciate that you pointed that out. Like these words, like when we're studying scripture, we study translations as faithful to the original text as possible. And we think of paraphrases like the message as something that just helps us like understand the way a commentary might or something else, maybe not even a commentary.
I think the thing that the message in particular, and even reading translations that are more thought for thought, you know, like I guess the NIV would be in that category or going the other direction. Like part of what is helpful to me as a reader is that it shakes me from the familiarity. Sometimes I need
to
that.
Read a different, which is why I went to like, let's read a paraphrase of this. But yeah, anyway, this is not the point of this podcast episode, but Inez, I think it's really helpful. And that was good of you to point out like, but pay attention to that one word because that is translated from the Hebrew, like that but that we see throughout scripture is one to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for it. Anyway, so as our listeners hear us like talking about all the different resources, I think that's good to kind of get a little like briefing on translation.
At the same time, I think the beauty of reading the message as you did yeah. is that everything prior to that but, when you read it from the perspective of the Israelites, which is how we read it in the CSV, mm-hmm. may seem a little distant to us, right?
Exactly.
We might feel like we don't connect yeah. to that language. But if you combine the two hearings, you yeah. hear the message giving us language of today.
Exactly.
The kinds of things that we are doing, right? Yes. And then you put that but back in from uh-huh, CSB. Uh-huh. And then you read the rest of the passage. And I feel like that gives it a more relatable mm-hmm. understanding. So I like you, I like reading a variety of translations mm-hmm. so that it really sinks in, because yes. it's easy to, you know, kind of take off something because I don't get it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so to then dig in and go like, okay, what would this sound like to me as an original hearer?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
True.
How would... Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah. Anyway.
Here's something I'm glad that you mentioned, Micah. I mean, we read a little bit from Micah in our reading today. If you're listening to this on the day it releases, this is a Monday. And in Monday's reading, we get to read some from Micah 6, which, you know, the kind of banner verse there is Micah 6:8 that we'll read. But do you know what I noticed this time around that I didn't, it's not that I haven't noticed, I just haven't thought much of? How the Lord continues to call his people, his people, even yeah. in the midst of every,
yeah.
the way that they are not representing him, the way that they should, the way that they are not living according to the commands that he has given, the way that they are not acknowledging him mm-hmm. as the one true God. He still is saying, you know, here in Micah 6, verse 2, for example, listen to the Lord's lawsuit, you mountains and enduring foundations of the earth, because the Lord has a case against his people, and he will argue it against Israel. My people, what have I done to you, or how have I wearied you? And it just continues like, my people, remember this, and mm-hmm. my people. Like, it just keeps, he keeps calling them his.
Yeah.
And I think that I take that for granted that, like, oh, that's right. Like the Lord, I mean, that's covenant language. Like, I have
yeah.
determined that you are mine mm-hmm. and I'm not going to let anyone, even you, mm-hmm. change that.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, what an encouraging, right? And mm-hmm. again, I go back to that picture of a parent and a child, like my child, yeah. my son, you know, Susie, you know, or uh-huh. Andy, yeah. look, I'm trying to show you the right way. And just that tenderness and that yeah. relational
That's
foundation
good.
From which these words can be said, which again can sound harsh, but they're intended for our repentance and for our growth and for our intimacy with God.
Yeah.
And so I love, obviously, scripture is brilliant. It mm-hmm. is the word of God, because like God knows exactly how to talk to us in a way that we will listen, right?
Yeah.
Reminding us once again and again of our identity. That's what I see. I felt like when I yes. heard you say it, I felt mm-hmm. like identity is being reminded so yeah. that then we can take what God is saying. Yeah.
That's good. That's mm-hmm. good. Yeah, I like that sonship or that child. Like, no matter what we do, there's nothing that can make us
yeah.
undo that relationship. Yeah, okay, yeah. so Amanda, you said at the end of Amos 5, that key verse, and you're like, I forgot the context of
yes.
that key verse. And I forgot the context of the Micah 6:8 verse. Because
oh, yeah, yeah.
When I was reading
Similar,
it,
yeah.
I didn't pay attention to the reference at the top. And so I didn't know where I was headed. And so I was on this little journey. And then all of a sudden I was in Micah 6:8. And I was like, whoa. Like,
yeah,
here
yeah.
we are. Okay, I'm going to read it so that y'all, like, you will read this today. Promise me that you will read this today. But I am going to read that little journey as well, because I think it's so interesting, even just starting in verse 6, two mm-hmm. verses earlier. You know, Micah says, what should I bring before the Lord when I come to bow before God on high? Should I come before him with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 streams of oil? Should I give my firstborn for my transgression, the offspring of my body for my own sin? Mankind, he has told each of you what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. It is very similar in that context piece to the Amos yeah. 5 passage.
Yeah.
Man, we got to not pull Bible verses out. We got to read them where they sit.
Did you notice how it shifted from my people to mankind?
I did.
Oh.
I did.
Okay, talk about it.
Well, obviously, the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, created by God to be blessed, to be a blessing mm-hmm. to all of mankind. And then this call to all of mankind to
yeah.
act justly, love faith, right? So this It goes beyond the people, God's people at this time, the people of Israel, to all of mankind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I wonder if a Jewish person was reading this would have gone, what, mankind? Those other nations too? You know, we're all supposed to act justly. Yeah, that sort of jumped at me just now. I had not noticed that before.
Oh, I'm glad you pointed that out. Yeah.
Well, even in the book of Amos, like the chapters that we read last week, we see that the judgment is not just against Israel. Like these judgments are coming against all of the nations. So the nations are being held to the standard of, you know, to a standard for the way that they are just treating humanity. And then Israel is also being held to that and then some because they are God's people and they've been given the law. And so they, of all people, right, should know better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of parental language, they should know better.
And then day 8 concludes with 2 Peter chapter 3, which we are not going to read because y'all will. But that beginning question of like, are you sure you want the day of the Lord? Like, what do you think it will be? And then in 2 Peter chapter 3, like, you're going to get to read about that a little bit more, like with some clarity. So don't miss that day.
Yeah.
Moving on to day 9.
You all, the title for day 9, the day 9 reading in our reading plan is Judgment Against Pride. Cool. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Everybody get ready. And, you know, you guys will read this in your Bible reading, but there's a lot of, there is a lot of language of pride and like self-sufficiency. And, you know, we've just read Chronicles and I remembered as I was reading some of these sections that like David's census. For example, of like, I'm going to see just how strong I am.
Yeah.
You know? And so just that like, man, it is so easy to pivot from trusting in the Lord, depending in the Lord, having my eyes on the Lord, and then just like, whoop, like inward, inward focus, trust in myself, in my idols, like in my own strength. And so all of this, like the word citadel that we see over and over, it's like, they're strongholds, they're like forts, kind of, and they're starting to put their trust, not starting, it sounds like they're well on their way. They're they're putting their trust in those places. Anyway, all of that to say, yeah, pride. Pride.
That, can we, can
hey, She Reads Truth team, can you please make a share graphic of that? All of that to say, yeah, let's tweet that.
All of that. Direct quote, Amanda Bible Williams.
Oh, I love that. Well, you know, they were in the highest point, in, right? Israel was very wealthy, very prosperous.
Right.
They built high walls around their city. They were at the highest place. And gosh, what a reminder for us. Because when we get to those really high places where everything seems to be in a good place, most likely place to be hit with pride, we forget how we got here to begin with. I know this is the chapter, I would say, that really spoke to me.
Yeah.
It's like W-O-E and also W-H-O-A. Like, whoa.
Yeah,
it is. And it reminds me, Inez, of all the warnings about wealth in the New Testament, of how, you know, Jesus and the New Testament writers were just like, be careful. Like, you're in danger. And yeah, I mean, all of this that we're reading, like these abhorrent conditions and the oppression and the things that are taking place on their watch, like the people of God's watch and the surrounding nations, those things are happening because they have put something else in place of God, whether it's self or false gods. You know, they're going to their high places and pagan worship. Like, that is what not putting the Lord in his proper place, the one who is, like Rachel, you said, he is justice, he is mercy, he is righteousness. And so if that is not, if he is not the one that we're worshiping, then of course it's going to produce what is happening here.
It's interesting that the heading of Amos chapter 6 is woe to the complacent. Like, even that word, and as y'all read chapter 6, like, you're going to see this, like, you lay on these, like, ivory beds, and you drink wine by the bowlful, and, like, and yet, you don't care about the ruin of Joseph. Like, you don't care that, like, something is deeply broken and things are wrong and you're needed. And so like that woe to the complacent, I think is so, because we could talk about like later in that chapter, you know, I loathe Jacob's pride and pride is talked about, but like even that complacency, it is so passive, but it is just, I can't care about.
It's still a decision.
It is like, but God made you. He made me to be a part of his kingdom and not to just enjoy the spoils of the kingdom without investing and caring in his flock. Like we'll see, you know, down the road when you read from like the Gospels, like where Jesus is saying to Peter, who is the rock upon whom he will build his church, feed my sheep, like tend to my flock, like care about. He's saying that to his church. And so the complacency of just, I just sit around and I don't care. Like there is a woe there.
Yeah.
A W-O-E. But also
a disconnection, right? There's a sense of disconnection from those who are needy, you know, reaching such a high level of comfort and wealth that you don't even know what people who are suffering, what their lives are like or what they need or how your position of privilege is affecting those who don't have it.
That's right.
Just having this heart for those, like it says, you don't care about Joseph and this idea of you don't care about those who are suffering.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you're not even connected to it. So wake up.
Yes.
Yeah. But again, it shows God's heart, doesn't it? I mean, I see this like God's heart is always, always, always pointed toward the poor, the suffering, the marginalized. That's his heart. He's always looking at the vulnerable with kindness and mercy, and he wants us to be the same. It's again, an invitation. Mm-hmm. It's an invitation, but also sometimes we need a woe. We need a wake up, chop, chop.
Yes.
Inez, I like the way that you put that. This is why you're such a great Bible student. Because like you're seeing the woe and you're hearing that and reading that and you're also going, these woes show God's heart. Like what can you learn about God's heart in every one of these that we read about? You know, like that's a good thing to look for.
Hey friends, a quick interruption to tell you we are pumped about our summer study. It's called The Genealogy of Jesus. It's 5 weeks long and it's exactly what it sounds like. We're going to explore the lineage of Jesus through the broken, difficult, beautiful stories of real people, all pointing us to Jesus and to new life in the gospel. Now, the plan starts really soon, as in Monday, June 5th. So the best way to ensure that you can read along with us at this point is by getting a digital study book. Now, what you may not know is that our digital books have all the same great content of the printed book, but in a convenient digital format. So if you're someone on the go, someone who relies on a PDF reader for your book, someone who doesn't like a stack of books in your minimalist home, or just you want to customize your reading experience and make the display size larger or change the brightness, this is perfect for you. We actually really enjoy interacting with our digital study books, and we think that you will too. So head to shopshereadstruth.com/GOJ digital, as in genealogy of Jesus. So GOJ digital to get your digital book. And as soon as your purchase is complete, you'll receive a download link in a separate email so that you can download the book immediately and follow along just as if you had the physical book. We hope you'll join us for our genealogy of Jesus plan as we read scripture together and reflect on God's faithfulness from generation to generation.
Hey friends, quick pause on this episode to make sure you are set up to receive text messages from She Reads Truth. If you are, you're getting reading plan announcements, exclusive offers, early bird access to our biggest sales, and of course, restock alerts. And if you're not, you can sign up right now. Here's how you do it. Grab your phone and text the word podcast to 833-230-4861. That was a lot of numbers, so I'm going to say it again. Text the word podcast to 833-230-4861 to subscribe now. And as a celebratory welcome gift, you're going to receive a text reply with a promo code for 20% off your next order. Of course, some exclusions apply, and I'm going to give you that phone number one last time. Text the word podcast to 833-230-4861 to sign up to receive text messages from She Reads Truth. Okay, back to the episode. I like studying the Bible with you, Inez.
I'm having so much fun. This is a great conversation. See, you know, Amos has been very surprisingly super fun to read. And so I'm so excited for those who are reading this week.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the quote. Amos has been super fun to read. You know why? It's because it is Amos's part of the whole of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so knowing Jesus mm-hmm. and knowing God's story of redemption, it's like having, it's a lens through which to read this and go, wait, it doesn't water down what God is saying. It's not like, yeah, but Jesus.
Yeah.
No, no, no. It's understanding who God is mm-hmm. and that this book of Amos has such a like a drumbeat of justice, but that's because there's a drumbeat of justice throughout all of Scripture mm-hmm. because that's who God is.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He is just. And so what you were saying about like how the treatment of the poor and the marginalized and the oppressed, like we read a lot of these rebukes and this judgment is coming because of that, because of the way that they're exploiting the poor.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll get there, but I'm just going to skip ahead anyway. But we read later this week, you guys will get to read the passage from Matthew 25 where Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me something. We've heard this passage, right? I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And of course, what do the righteous say? When did we do those things? And they're like, whatever you've done to the least of these, yeah. you know, you've yeah. done that. And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Mm-hmm. And that is a connection. The way that our wonderful team curated this reading plan made that connection for me for the first time. And as to what you were saying, that like, this is what Jesus is teaching in the New Testament. And this is what God, same God,
yeah.
the triune God, is saying through his prophet Isaiah of like, if you are not treating the least of these justly and loving them, then you are not loving me. Like, yeah. that's the core of it, yeah. right? It's like that's they're exactly not right. loving God and yes. loving others.
The Old Testament and New Testament talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Well, I mean, even just like all this talk of justice, yes. to like see this like drumbeat of justice
yes.
and this call to justice through the end of the Old Testament, and knowing as, you know, New Testament Bible readers, as present day church, knowing that justice was eventually carried out by the ultimate injustice.
Yeah.
By that like full inversion mm-hmm. of justice of the sinless man being judged and killed and losing his life on behalf of all the sinful men and women. And that was like the great act of injustice brought forth the justice that it rolled forth. And like, and it's the already and the not yet, but it is also already like, the yeah. work is done.
Amen.
The other thing I'm reminded of, especially in light of this chapter, you know, dealing with pride, is the difference between these people who had become wealthy and had forgotten God and forgotten the poor, and Philippians 2 describing Jesus leaving everything, becoming nothing. Like that's right. what he did with his wealth, with his comfort, with all that he had. He gave it all up and became a servant, became nothing, became poor for our sake. So these two pictures sort of came to mind to me as I was reading this, like the difference and what God really wants for us is to obviously be like Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. It is.
It is. So girls, what do we, just talk about the visions. Can we talk about the visions?
Let's talk about the visions.
So here's one thing that I was so fascinated by, but also really liked about this section of Amos yeah. is like, I'm used to, you know, a lot of times in the Old Testament, a vision is there's lots of chapters in describing in great detail a vision. You know, you think about Daniel, for example, but this, it's like Amos, we got a few visions here and they're like, boom, boom, boom. And they're so it's
real
short,
boom, boom, boom.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Inez, how do you feel about the visions?
So I'm thinking of Amos. He was a shepherd, right? He was a shepherd. He took care of some trees, fig trees.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what a wild life he's having. What a wild experience he's
actual
having.
Actual wild life.
Mm-hmm. Right? The God's calling him out of that. And now, not only does he get to say some really unpopular things uh-huh. to people, but now he's having these visions. So all I can think of is how startling this must have been for him. So I'm grateful for the few words, because I got to believe some of these visions were very disturbing for him.
Yes.
But What struck me was he used the term Jacob instead of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So in the visions, he talked, like he prays out to God. He says, how will Jacob survive since he's so small?
Mm.
That's verse 5 in Amos 7. And he repeats that every time.
Yes.
And he uses the word Jacob versus Israel. He's speaking to the nation of Israel, you know, named after Jacob himself, whose name was changed to Israel.
That's
and that jumped at me right away. Like, Jacob was a deceiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was this
liar
man who
is
was
what Jacob
a
means.
Liar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, so small, like he's so vulnerable. He was vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
He was constantly having to manipulate, right, to make things work out for himself. And because he was small. And yet God loved Jacob. God loved Israel. And I really love how Amos kind of goes back to that, like, how will they survive? They will not make it, God, if you do these things. They'll be wiped out. Yeah, so that jumped at me as I was reading that, that repetition in each one, like his heart for his people. So, you know, he's a shepherd who gets called to do this, and yet he loves his people.
Yeah.
The plumb line stood out to me. I mean, I remember like maybe, you know, as a middle schooler being taught about the plumb line in the context of scripture. And that it was new to me then, but I haven't given it a lot of thought in a while. And I just...
So tell us what it is.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
talk about that. I know nothing about
just
that.
Just think like a string hung from an up high place with a heavy weight at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is like where gravity is used to show us like what is the true up and down. Like what is
plumb? Well, I'm glad you said that. I had this idea of the plumb line being... horizontal.
Okay.
You know, like that line that they use on the wall.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm so glad to help with this. Yay.
Like the chalk one that you pull and pop.
Yeah.
Like
chalk. Mm-hmm. Okay, so plumb line, as I understand it, it's vertical, would be used in architecture. Like, are we plumb?
With the metal at the bottom, like that weight?
Yes, with like a weight at the bottom.
Yes.
And it's just interesting to think about, like, there is this true. There is one thing that is true, and it is this. And it goes from the bottom to the top, and it is a straight line. And I was having this sort of hypothetical conversation with a friend of mine, and we were, you know, talking about Christendom and like orthodoxy and just kind of going like within the bounds of orthodoxy, like we all sit in different places, like within this like circle of orthodoxy and, you know.
And some of us move around a little bit.
And we move around a little bit over time.
Yeah,
and like, it's just an interesting, so like she had this circle that she had drawn for me and she was like, you know, you might be here, I'm probably over here and whatever. And so it's interesting. So then when I'm reading in Amos about this plumb line, that there is this one straight center true thing. I think I thought back to that sketch that she had drawn for me, and I thought every person in that circle, in within the bounds of orthodoxy even, needs Jesus, needs grace, needs to be brought true.
Yeah.
And the only thing that can bring us true is him. Like, it was just like beautiful to go like, none of us knows. None of us is perfectly right or true or plumb. And so then this plumb line, then the Lord said, I'm setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I'll no longer spare them. Isaac's high places will be deserted and Israel's sanctuaries will be ruins. I will rise up against the house of Jeroboam with a sword.
Yeah. Okay, and what's interesting to me, first of all, the things that you two have pointed out, I love hearing that because that's so interesting. I had just missed, I'd missed the Jacob part. I don't know how.
Me neither. I missed that too.
But so in the first vision of the locusts.
Yeah, you get the locusts.
It's, I do love locusts. I think of cicadas. I can't help it. I feel like they probably look a little bit similar, but we get in Tennessee, and as we get cicadas, and they're loud and they're very present.
Every 7 years.
You can keep them.
Yeah.
You can keep them. Please don't send them to California.
I won't.
You got it.
I won't. You guys.
We have our crows or something. We have stuff.
Yeah.
We have stuff. It's fine. Yeah. We have some negative things. So Amos says, the Lord God showed me this. I'm just going to read this one as an example.
Do it.
He was forming a swarm of locusts at the time the spring crop first began to sprout after the cutting of the king's hay. When the locusts finished eating the vegetation of the land, I said, Lord God, please forgive. How will Jacob survive since he is so small? The swarm is eating the crops, right?
Like anything green.
Yeah. In verse 3, the Lord relented concerning this. It will not happen, he said. So he's seeing visions of what could happen, right? Or like maybe even what should, right? In God's justice. And so the same with the second vision of the fire. And, you know, it consumes, it says it consumed the great deep and then devoured the land. This is the second vision. And Amos said, Lord God, please stop. How will Jacob survive since he is so small? And the Lord relented concerning this. This will not happen either, said the Lord God. But then the plumb line, he sees a vision of, you know, the Lord was standing there by a vertical wall with a plumb line in his hand. So this is the Lord, the righteous one, holding the plumb line. And the Lord asked me, what do you see, Amos? I replied, a plumb line. Mm-hmm. The Lord said, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will no longer spare them. And so like the high places deserted, like that's idol worship, pagan worship. He's like, I am bringing this down. In this, he's not relenting. Mm. Right? So it's like, I am showing mercy and also, now this, speak of paraphrase, this is the Amanda Bible version. The Amanda Bible Bible. But he's like, this is, you know, I am showing mercy and also I am still who I am, right? Mm-hmm. I am, and I am right.
What is
righteous,
true is still
and
true.
And I am just. Yes, and I am truth. And so that is not going to change.
Yeah.
They didn't like that message very much. Inez, you mentioned that.
I know. But, you know, at the same time, I wonder if you heard this too as you were reading it, that how loving God is, that he will tear us down when we're in pride. He will tear down the things we rely upon because all of that leads us to death.
That's right.
Of relationship,
right?
Death of joy, death of intimacy, all those things. He's a jealous God who wants to destroy those things that destroy us. Mm-hmm. So as strong as this language is, I hear God like coming into my rescue, kind of tearing down those things. Like I hear God going, I'm going to tear that stuff down. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. But we got to tear these things down because where you're headed is going to be the end.
Yes.
I love that.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's right. I mean, we read in these 2 weeks in this reading plan, some of the supplementals, you know, and I can't recall where they're all located, but I think last week we read, you know, that the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And, you know, the parenting analogy, it falls apart at some point because we are human parents and God is God.
Even the parents are human in this case, yes.
Yeah. And it's also, but it's also really helpful. It's like I discipline my children because I love them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't just want their safety. It's not just, well, don't touch the hot stove. It's also, I want their flourishing.
Yeah.
Like I want them to know how to live in the world and how to treat other people and treat themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And
I love that from the visions, we landed on the plumb line of the like, but this is still true. Like
That's right.
And it feels so perfect that our team chose Isaiah chapter 40:6-8 to kind of pair with that because that's it too. We got to read it. We just have to.
Okay.
Inez, will you read it for us?
Okay. Verse 6 and 8. A voice was saying, cry out. Another said, what should I cry out? All humanity is grass, and all its goodness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade, when the breath of the Lord blows on them. Indeed, the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains forever.
The plumb line remains.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's another context, you know, verse where we quote that verse a lot, you know, Isaiah 40, verse 8.
Sure.
The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. But to read those leading up to that and remember like, okay, this is Isaiah. He's a prophet. We know what's, you know, kind of the condition that they're in spiritually. And we see, okay, humanity, we are the grass of the field. You know, we're frail, we're fickle, like we're here and then we're gone. And, but God, he is holiness, like that plumb line, like it remains.
Yeah.
And he is faithful, even amid all of this.
Yeah.
Like this mess that they've made, that we've made.
Don't you dare turn the page.
I know.
I see you turning the page.
Rachel, this is Rachel gets one of her greatest hits this week.
I love this passage. I love
it. I was happy for you when I saw that it was in here.
I love 2 Timothy 4. I've loved it for a decade or more. I just love it. I love also, this is Paul talking to Timothy, and it's like this tale as old as time.
Yeah.
because it really is Old Testament. It is New Testament. Like, it is there. Chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and turn aside to myths. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Align with the plumb line.
Yeah. So good.
It's the Rachel Myers version.
Yeah. They align with the plumb line I added. I just need to be clear in case you don't have scripture in front of you right now.
Yes.
I love that this is connected together. What, that's beautiful. I loved it too. I thought, oh, what a great passage to connect with what we just read.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Y'all listening are going to have a good week of scripture ahead of you.
It's such a scripture is such a beautiful connect the dots.
I
love it so much. I love it. Okay. Y'all are going to keep reading. There's another vision. There are five. There's the vision of the basket of summer fruit. Well, doesn't that just sound lovely and harmless? and there's a lot of talk in that chapter about, this is the passage that is paired with the Matthew passage about, you know, when did you see me?
The sheep and the goats.
Hungry and thirsty. Mm-hmm. Right, the sheep and the goats. Because there's so much talk in Amos 8, and this imagery about, you know, the way that they are treating the marginalized and how that is so opposed to the heart of God. Mm-hmm. And yet a fitting fruit of their idolatry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you get some really good Exodus imagery in day 11. I will darken the land in the daytime.
Yeah.
And you also get to read some Exodus. But y'all, we have to, before our hour comes to an end, we have to get to Amos 9 because a lot of times we're like, well, it's okay if we don't get through everything. But Amos 9 is like what we're aiming for, right? Yes. Like, that's where the hope and the restoration and the promise of restoration comes.
That's right.
Very true. Because when Amos 8 has this sort of like mourning and lamentation and sackcloth and grief and loss, and it's like, we can't stop there.
We can't stop there. Well, because, and that's not where God stops.
That's what God wants. That's not what God wants.
Right.
That's
right.
Yeah. Amos 9 is the fifth and final vision, but it's the Lord beside the altar. It's beautiful. It's very poetic. Mm-hmm. Like Amos, I was reading, it's in the extra in the study book about how to read prophets and prophecy and how the prophets can combine a lot of different types of literature in one package. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we definitely see that in Amos. There's like some narrative, there's some poetry, there are visions, there's all kinds of stuff happening here. And so it felt very poetic to me. It reminded me of Psalm 139, like, where can I go?
Yeah.
Where can I hide from your presence? If I go to the depths, you're there.
No place to hide.
That's right.
That's right.
And I'm just sitting here flipping the page and wondering, how in the world do we choose what portion of this to read, you all? Inez, what parts stood out to you in this?
Oh, well, I have a few things highlighted and underlined, but they're all the things that like convicted my heart, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
Except for, of course, that last line. Mm-hmm. In verse 5, where it talks about the Lord, the God of armies, he touches the earth, it melts. And all who dwell in it mourn, all of it rises like the Nile and subsides like the Nile of Egypt. I sense the power of God.
Yes.
Like the power of God. Even though some of the statements here have to do with some of the things that God's power can do, I just sense like we have a very powerful, mighty God, which I'm thinking that people, like I would say even myself, who are tempted to worship idols, worship things that are not of God, counterfeit good things, then when you read something like this, you're reminded that those things are nowhere close to the nature of God, who
That's
He is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it stands out against the idols that I make, the idols that I trust, the things that I believe will save me, and it's nowhere close to who God is and His power.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that jumped at me, and I wrote next to it, God is all powerful, and that's a good thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and the introduction to the book of Amos, the She Reads Amos introduction at the beginning of the, if you have a study book, use the word involvement, that one of the reasons that we, you know, are thankful for the book of Amos is that it shows us how God is not only sovereign, but that He is involved
with his people, that he is involved with us as humans. And so I similarly was struck with verse 8. It says, look, the eyes of the Lord God are on the sinful kingdom, and I will obliterate it from the face of the earth. Like the Lord is, he sees the darkness, and he is moved to action. And so, yes, there's a lot of really harsh language in this book and in Amos's prophecy and as a mouthpiece for the Lord. But this is the Lord's response to evil.
Yeah. We want that, don't we?
We do
want
a
God that does something about it.
That's right. That's right. And it said in verse 8 goes on, however, I will not totally destroy the house of Jacob. This is the Lord's declaration. For I am about to give the command, and I will shake the house of Israel among all the nations as one who shakes a sieve. I'm picturing the mesh strainer in my kitchen.
Yeah.
But not a pebble will fall to the ground. All the sinners among my people who say disaster will never overtake or confront us will die by the sword. Mm. In that day, I will restore the fallen shelter of David. I will repair its gaps, restore its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that bear my name. This is the declaration of the Lord. He will do this. Mm-hmm. I love that addendum. Usually it just says, this is the declaration of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But there's that addendum of, he will do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is like, this is so good. Yes. Like the day of judgment is also the day of restoration. It's like God comes and cleanses all the things that are impure and obviously broken to restore good things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel like this needs to be like a song.
Yeah,
it does.
That's good. I like that.
And that powerful imagery, it goes both ways because listen, I mean, some of this imagery in this chapter, look, the days are coming. This is the Lord's declaration. When the plowman will overtake the reaper and the one who treads grapes, the sower of seed. So like life is going to win. Mm-hmm. Life is winning here.
The planter will overtake the harvester.
Yes.
Yes.
The mountains will drip with sweet wine and the hills will flow with it. Mm-hmm. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel. And now, I don't think this is just the fortunes that they have begun to trust in, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But this is like that flourishing and abundant life. I'm just going to keep going.
Good.
So almost here
I don't
end.
Know why you wouldn't.
I love it.
They will rebuild and occupy ruined cities, plant vineyards and drink their wine, make gardens and eat their produce. I will plant them. This is just for you, Rachel.
It's the
Rachel,
gardening the gardener. Language. You know I love it. Yeah.
I will plant them on their land, and they will never again be uprooted.
Circle that. Never again.
Yes.
Never again be uprooted from the land I have given them. The Lord your God has spoken.
And that's the last six words of the book of Amos.
Yeah. And so he's casting a vision, right? Mm-hmm. This is not just a different kind of vision, but this is not just, I mean, we're at this point, this language is talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
this is beyond
exile.
Beyond the exile and the return and to Jesus. Like that language of I will not totally destroy the house of Jacob, that talk of Jacob being small.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about all the language in Isaiah about from that tiny shoot.
Yeah.
You know, out of the stump.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I can't help but think like that was the quickest hour of my week, hands down, for sure. But like out of this hour, looking back at the just like 4.5 chapters of Amos that we just read, I want to like for y'all listening, I think that like coming out of these last verses, you have heard us even giggle at how much we have enjoyed the book of Amos and like reading it and drawing connections. And there's like, that's us delighting in the word of God. Like we are delighted by how true it is and how it all connects. And I mean, we talked about 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's talk about 2 Timothy chapter 3. Like if the word of God is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, like that the man of God may be equipped for every good work, don't hear our delight in the book of Amos as an absence of all of the other things that the book of Amos is meant to do. If the book of Amos is meant to rebuke and reform and pull us plumb, like my encouragement to y'all as you go forth into your week and like into your reading is delight in God's word and ask the Spirit, how can you pull me plumb? Like, will you convict me? Will you rebuke me? Will you correct me? I desire to be pulled plumb to Jesus.
That's right.
And like, that's what I want. Like, I want both for you in the book of Amos as you read this week, that you don't just get excited, but that you are convicted.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's I love that paraphrase from the message that you like. The Christian life is not a PR campaign.
Yeah.
It's not about like, how flashy and wonderful can I make this look? And how can I enjoy myself today in my Christian walk?
How can I make space for more complacency?
Right. As I was reading in, what day was this? Thursday's reading. So you guys will get to it. Day 11, Amos 8. That language of, here's how I see you treating people.
The poor, the oppressed.
Yeah, and how it's so convicting to me. And the Lord tapped on my shoulder and was like, hey, John 13:35, like, how do people know that you follow me?
Yeah.
Well, they know that because you love each other.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even in the church body,
that's good.
If the book of Amos is a message first, and, you know, for them then, right? Yeah. So it was for Israel because they were called to be set apart as God's people and they were adopting the pagan practices of the nations around them rather than, as you were alluding to earlier, Rachel, like spreading the kingdom.
Yeah.
Like we're not just supposed to kick up our feet and like live in the kingdom.
Here we are in the kingdom. What a nice time.
We are to spread, right? I mean, that's Garden of Eden language. Like we are to be spreading the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so that is what Amos is rebuking Israel. And it is not a far jump for me.
I agree. No.
To look in my own heart and see all of this language of the root of this is, are you loving me, Amanda? Mm-hmm. Are you loving the one true God?
Mm-hmm.
And are you loving others?
Mm-hmm.
Because that is...
And how does your life reflect that you
are? That's
right.
That is what the rest of this flows from.
That's good.
Those two commandments.
Yeah, I told you that it was. It was very convicting for me as well, realizing that while he was talking to Israel, he was talking to me and my comforts and the things that I'm trusting in, or even the things that I'm disconnecting from, and maybe ways in which I am not being mindful of the needs of the poor or how the decisions that I make affect those who have less or are in a different situation. So I was very convicted through it all, but I also felt very loved by God to want to root those things out of my heart. So I felt sense of like, yes, God, come into my house and clean it up. Like find where I'm not doing what you call me to do and reveal those things to me. Because one thing the book makes clear is none of us escape.
Yeah.
None of us escape the justice of God. And that is a good thing again, but that means we have to make some changes. So I know I'm going to be examining more as I continue to process this, to be honest.
That's good. That's good.
Thank you for being our buddy today, Inez, and reading with us.
Wonderful.
I'm so glad. Amanda said before we hit record, like, we need Inez to, like, record a little how-to. Not that any, all of our guests are amazing, but
they
just this, like, you're just such a, like, a wonderful guest for our podcast.
Aww.
And we just love you. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Happy to be with you anytime. This was so enriching for me as well. So I appreciate it.
Yes.
Careful what you wish for, Inez.
I'm in.
Well, friends listening, you know the drill. You know that from here, you go and you read your Bibles. You open your Bibles every day. Be a woman in the Word of God every day this week, or a guy in the Word of God if you're a guy.
That's right.
But go and do that, because there's a ton that we didn't read to you, even though we would have loved to, because that's not our job. That is you. And like, you're going to get to open the Word and have discussions like with your community, with your people. Talk to them about what you are learning. I have really, like, in reading the book of Amos, I told Amanda, I sat at the fire last night with my husband Ryan for like almost 2 hours just unpacking the book of Amos with him. Like, I was like, this is what I'm reading. Like, and the extra scriptures and all of those things. Like, I was just, it sparked such good discussion for us.
Yeah.
Anyway, so go into this week. Be a woman in the Word of God every day. Come back next week. We will be starting a brand new series called The Genealogy of Jesus.
So excited.
Amanda and I are so excited. Amanda, give us the elevator pitch on The Genealogy of Jesus.
Oh, we're going to learn so much about Jesus and his genealogy, as you may have guessed from the title, but we're going to really see how God is faithful from generation to generation, and we're going to learn about that through the stories of people in the lineage of Jesus. And spoiler alert, they're not all rainbows and unicorns and fluffy times. Like, this is, there are right. some hard stories, mm-hmm. there are some beautiful stories, but they are all stories that point to Jesus. So mm-hmm. you're going to learn a lot about Jesus and his lineage. You're also going to learn a lot about the gospel, yeah. the beauty of the gospel.
That was an excellent elevator pitch.
Well, thank you so
I'm
much.
Excited. Well, listen.
I'm in.
That's yeah, come on.
This is it.
Y'all come on.
Y'all come back next week for that. But until next week, Inez, what do we tell our friends?
Keep opening your Bibles.